going to move this morning into a special time where we're going to take a few moments. This is by the direction of the elders of our church. They just wanted to spend some time just really walking with us to understand a bit more about our connection to the project and the ways in which the project, these yellow shirts that come in and sit with us, the ways in which those folks are able to be an extension of the ministry that we do here in the life of the church. And so a couple of the elders are going to come and give some presentations. There are going to be some videos, and we're going to get a little deeper understanding of what we're doing out of that partnership. And then I'll come back after that, and we'll talk about Matthew chapter 13, where we talk about scattering the seeds and just understanding what our role is in spreading the gospel across our great city. Amen? Let me pray for us as I believe Dan is first up. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this morning. And we pray, Lord God, that we would just move into this time of better understanding, just kind of what you're doing, God. It's really you that's doing any of this, Father. So regardless of how many of us show up, absent of you making a move, God, that there's nothing getting done. And so, Lord God, I pray over this time that it will be honoring to you and that it will be kind of a revelation to us. For some of us, it might be confirmation or affirmation, but for all of us, might there be some new revelation today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the session, while we were meeting, we decided that this Sunday would be a good Sunday to set aside some time to talk about the partnership with TPP, the Philadelphia Project, and really celebrate the way that we're able to spread joy in our community here in Roxborough, and the Lord is glorified in all the work that we do with the outreach. So summer's coming. Yellow shirts are starting to show up. These ones are different than the ones we'll see all summer, but that's okay. And lots of barbecues, community events, vacations, everything is coming up. It's a very exciting time. So we're going to cover a lot of that in our presentation. We have videos. They speak way louder and way better than we do. So you guys are going to get to see a lot of the insight, the people who are here day to day handling the issues and doing interviews. So that's very, very special. So if you could hit the lights, Vern. I'm going to kick it off with some of the children's programs, and then that's going to lead into a video. So I need everyone to be as quiet and still as possible. Prior to TPP and our partnership with them, this is what the church sounded like most of the time. So since our partnership launched, activities like pre-fuel, fuel, preschool, it brought hundreds of kids in every single week, streaming through the doors, this sanctuary full of life, energy, staff, teaching, planting seeds in our young ones. In addition to all of that, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, coming through the door. Some people that might not normally step foot in the church, walking in, pick up their children, their nephews, their grandchildren. So it's an incredible opportunity for us as a church to really embrace that partnership, to celebrate the opportunity it gives us to touch our community and grow the places where God has planted us. So we're going to take a look at a video real quick, and it's going to highlight pre-fuel, fuel, and the preschool. And this is what it looks like Monday to Friday.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set
Project Preschool has made a really big impact on our family, in that we know that our children are safe, and the staff makes us feel like family and friends.
Church.
Washoe Preschool in 2014 in the fall. We are currently in our third year. We started with 25 students, and now we have over 50 students, ages 2 through 5. My favorite thing about this preschool is that we're a Christian school, and I love that we can teach these children about God and Jesus. My son attends the school, and he comes home praying. He comes asking questions about Jesus. He wants to read the Bible. It's just fun and exciting, and just a great way for them to learn and build a relationship with Jesus, even at a young age. Ways that you guys can help. We really need your help just praying for us, praying for the kids, praying for the families that come here. We need help with supplies. We're constantly putting out supply lists. It's just to ask us how you can get involved and what we need. That could be anything from books to coloring books to crayons to Clorox wipes. You know, we gotta clean up after these kids constantly. And there's tons of ways to serve. Get those clearances and we can get you in to read to the kids, to take a small group of children, to play music for them. Whatever your gifts and talents are, we would love to have you come to our school.
Church, we are the home on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere.
What's your favorite thing about fuel, DJ? What about you, David?
I like to play basketball.
Basketball?
Started in 2012 with about 14 kids. It's amazing how now we are in 2017 with 75 students from Roxborough Christian School, Shawmont, and Greenwich Charter School. It is absolutely amazing, and Jalil and I really love the intimate time that we get to spend with these kids and share the gospel with them while pouring into their lives.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity that we have here at Roxborough Church. We have so many families that walk in and out of the doors that some of them have a relationship with Christ, some of them don't, but the church has a great opportunity to just love on people and to have an opportunity. People are coming to this space every day, just about, and we have an opportunity just to get in there and love on them.
All right. As you can see, there's a lot of life. It's not quiet. It's not still here Monday to Friday. And this is really just one of the segments that the Philadelphia Project and the church partner in. So we're going to bring Courtney up, and he's going to launch us in the next segment.
Go to the Lord tonight! See ya! Philadelphia Kids Camp program started about 4 years ago, and we started off with about 60 kids to now having over 200, and starting with only 2 weeks of camp to now being able to provide them with 5 weeks of camp. We have games for the kids, we expose them to God and our Bible teaching. We have electives for them, so there's so much that we get to provide for these kids, and as a result, the families here in Roxborough. The ways that you guys can get involved, we're in need of donations for supplies, and so that includes markers, poster boards, a list that we will get to you guys very soon. And other ways that you guys can get involved, we're looking for volunteers, especially during lunchtime. We will need people to help pass out lunches, to look over the kids, and also just build relationships with them. And also throughout the day, we're collectives, people to just get involved with the kids and help the staff just be able to provide a safe and awesome environment for the kids.
They extended my shed, they rebuilt the shed, they built the deck, which I love. They painted my bathroom, now they're painting my bedroom. Well, they act just like they're my kids. You know, I mean, even though we are strangers, we were strangers, and it's like we're a family now. You know, and all the kids come and then they hug me. They don't want to leave when it's time for them to go. They, you know, they want to stay.
Courtney spoke on the outreach beyond this church to Big C Church. I'm going to speak on our relationship within this church, Roxborough Church. When the project came here and worked with us, they started a lot of the programs that we have going on now. Those programs, some of them is transferred all the way over to Roxborough Church. Some are in transition. Some of them are still the responsibility of PTT. TPP. Like Sunday Junior Church, where our kids are now. That's run by members of our church, with the guidance of TPP. Easter egg hunt, they supplement our people with the Easter egg hunt, so we can throw it. Summer friends, the first year it started out as a vision of Ray's wife and her mother, and a lot of it was handled by TPP with a few from our church. Now it's mostly handled by our church with some input from TPP. Summer camp, as you heard in the film, that's completely TPP at this point, but it brings people here to learn about Christ and what he's done for us. Now we have over 200 students that come here for that. The barbecue and the worship on Wednesday nights. It's an avenue for people to come and know that the church is here to serve them in one way or another. The table and elder diner, another outlet. While it was always a Roxborough Church project, the first year, last year, to get it off the ground, we had great support from TPP, and they still supplement our people on Thursdays and the Mondays when we have that. Preschool, again, is all TPP. But all these are avenues of bringing the people into this church. Now, I brought a visual aid with me. This is a three-way bulb. I hope everybody still remembers what a three-way bulb is. It has three intensities of light. Think of the church as an outlet. When somebody comes, the Holy Spirit plugs you into that outlet. This is a three-way bulb. Okay, think of the three-way bulb. The first is a 50-watt intensity. That's just being plugged into the church, and somewhere along the line, you're from 50 watts to 100-watt bulb, learning about Christ, and then you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and what he's done for you by his atoning for our sins on the cross. Then you're at 100-watt level. Then you want to progress to 150-watt level. Now, while on earth, we will never get to be 150-watt level, but we, as the Bible describes, as we become first acquainted with Christ and accept his responsibilities, we live on food like a baby, formula, then we advance along, and we go that way. It's the same way. Once you've accepted Christ, you're in that transition period. And that's what the church is here for, to do that, to take you along that spiritual journey from 50 watts to 150 watts.
Keep praising.
All right. So next we're going to bring up my wife, Christina, and Joel. And they're both directors of the Philadelphia Project, and they're going to launch us into a moment where we can kind of figure out how we can contribute more to this summer and all the activities that are coming up.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for your time. I appreciate taking the time out of the service. We just really couldn't do it without you, without your prayers, and just without you welcoming us into this space. So thank you for that. I won't talk long because I know we're going over a little bit, but I do want to invite you to stop at the table outside. We're going to launch an Adopt an Intern program. We're going to ask that members of our church, or even non-members, visitors that come regularly, sign up to adopt an intern. So we have information about the interns that you can kind of get a look at who's out there. We have 20 interns to sign up for. The idea is that you partner with an intern, you pray for them constantly. We're asking that you maybe cook two meals over the whole summer or take them out to eat if cooking's not your thing. And if they call you, just be willing to take their call if they have some questions or just need somebody to listen to them. A lot of these are college kids living in a community that maybe are away from home, and we have people coming from Illinois even. So it'd be nice to kind of be like a mama bear, papa bear to them while they are here serving with us. So come see us after the service, and then I will hand it off to Joel.
First, thank you guys so much. What a blessing it is to be a part in this partnership with Roxborough Church. I made the videos, and I didn't feel like recording myself to talk a little bit, but kind of more like the opportunity that members in Roxborough have to kind of partner with us in our like homeowner relationships and fixing up our homeowners' houses. Throughout the school year, we have Blitz weekends where groups like our group from Carlisle, they came in for on Friday. They served all day Friday. They stayed over, served all day Saturday. And typically, our Blitz weekends is we have more middle school and high school students. But you know, whenever we send a crew out to a house, we love to send them with a worksite leader, somebody who you don't have to have extensive knowledge on, you know, building. But like if you know, handyman, handywoman, like you've experienced some kind of home repair opportunities and you want to come partner with us and kind of be one of our worksite leaders, we'd love to have you come on board with us and partner with us that way. If you love to cook, you know, we provide, you know, dinners for all the groups on Saturday night. So if you love to cook and want to partner with us that way, there's plenty of opportunities, you know, to really partner with us. In the summer, we're hiring 20, as Christina said, 20 interns. They really allow us to do what we do in the summer. So 8 of those interns are going to be our homeowner interns. And so they'll be matched up with one homeowner for the entire summer. And so they'll be kind of our extension to, you know, Miss Wilson or to, you know, Miss Buford or to, you know, Miss Singleton, who you saw in the video. So they're with our homeowners, you know, 5 days a week throughout the summer, building that relationship with them, praying with them, being the person that kind of connects the groups that come in for a week with our homeowner for that week. Two of our interns will be helping out with the pre-fuel, so the summer camp, ages, 3, 4, and 5. And then 4 of our interns will be helping out with the refuel, so the K through 5th grades. One intern will be going around taking videos and photos of everything. So all the interns who come have specific roles, and their hours are long. I mean, they start going about 6:30 in the morning, and they wrap up about, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night to wake up and do it the next day, So you know, our dream is like, oh, what would it look like to just to have a member of Roxborough to really just be the one to kind of sew into that intern, praying for them, as Christina says. So if you have more questions about that, what that looks like, we'll be out at the table. Talk with us. We'd love to get you connected with the project. But ultimately, just thank you guys so much for this opportunity. Without Roxborough Church, you know, we wouldn't have a place to be based out of it. So it's a blessing. I love coming to work here every day. It's just a wonderful congregation and a body of Christ to be a part of. So thank you guys for your partnership.
That moment in time when you look and you see kind of the revelation, the reality of something you believe God had given you a vision for becoming a true revelation. I had the privilege of praying with more than 100 distinct individuals over the course of 13 years about what would eventually become the Philadelphia Project. Matter of fact, one of the people who I prayed with was in my first go-around in seminary back in 2002 or 3-ish. I was praying with at that time, a young man named Leonard Dow, and we were sitting in class together praying about what might eventually be. And he was a pastor of a thriving church. He was an ex-banker, current pastor of a thriving church in the Oxford section of Philadelphia. And don't you know, it was a real joy today to look across and to see he and his family. I won't identify who they are, but to see he and his family walk in and take up an entire pew together. Leonard, it is good to have you with us today. And thank you for your faithfulness in praying with me as a young man in seminary about what God might do someday. It is a real joy to look and see that become a reality and to be able to stand here with all of you and lead in this capacity. And I hope that for those who came and maybe you weren't expecting a presentation about the project, I hope that you feel as though you were just sewn into as well, that you got a clearer picture of what it is that we as a church partner with and do here in our city. And I'm not going to take long in this message today because I think it was already one sermon in, and I praise the Lord for that. So just turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to try to highlight today's message. Matthew chapter 13, I'll read it. It says this. It says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake." I'm in verse 2 now. "Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving.'" Maybe you've heard it said one time or another as a saying like this. Let me plant this seed in your mind. Maybe you've heard something like that before. Well, that really sums up this entire passage. It's this idea that there is something that can be placed into, poured into, it can be planted into us, into everyone, into anyone. Ultimately, when Jesus is telling this parable, he's giving us an illustration which tells us a couple of things. The first thing we identify is that 3/4 of the opportunities for the seed to be planted don't take root. Think about this. 3/4 of the times that Jesus describes, 3/4 of the opportunities in which the seed is scattered, 3/4 of the time, at best, it sprouts and withers. It doesn't take root. It's only one of those opportunities that Jesus identifies that really grows. And church, all I want to say to us this morning is that your faithfulness as a church in sharing the good news, at embracing the truth, at welcoming the stranger, at loving your neighbor, at pouring into the yellow shirts over the summer, at praying faithfully for all those who come alongside of us, your faithfulness is the illustration of the 1/4. But I also want to say this. You're sitting here today, Lord willing and prayerfully, you're sitting here as one of the 1/4. We have a great responsibility. We talk about this all the time. Our city, 1.53 million people scattered across this city. More than 70% of the people in the city have declared that they have no interest in God. If you're doing the math, that's more than 1 million people across our city have declared that they either do not believe or are not interested in God. We've got a great field. And honestly, I get worn out just trying to witness in ShopRite. Right? And for those who don't know, ShopRite's our local grocery store, and that has maybe, at any given point, maybe 1,000 people. And that might be a stretch because it's a small parking lot. Right? There are plenty of folks that need the gospel. And the reality is, we need folks alongside of us to help do that. And I thank the Lord for people who are willing to, as Courtney said, put on a yellow jersey. We're stepping the game up. We went from shirts to jerseys. Went from shirts to jerseys. No upcharge for that either. Yeah. Put on the yellow jersey. I thank the Lord because when they come, like this church from Carlisle, I'm going to point them out for a second. When they come, they don't come representing a church from Carlisle. People in our city don't know anything about Carlisle. Matter of fact, I don't know anything about Carlisle. I think it's in our state, and it's probably somewhere not here. So, but when they come, they represent to everyone in our city an extension of the local church. And that's what excites me. And whether everybody we meet and every seed that we scatter, whether even the one-fourth that actually grows roots, whether they ever don the doors of this church or not, really, honestly, church, let me put this on the record. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me if every pew is filled with everybody that we meet through a yellow shirt or not. What matters to me is that the kingdom of heaven grows, that the kingdom of heaven comes near, that the truth of the gospel goes forth, that the seeds are scattered, they're watered, they're nurtured, and that they grow because of the reality of folks like you and I who are faithful to our part, and even if that means our part is to empower someone else to come in and do theirs. I love that I think it was Vern who had, I don't know, one of the elders, identified them as missionaries. I work alongside of these folks every day, and I find myself encouraged. But I also work alongside of you every day, and I find myself encouraged knowing what they might not yet know, which is how hard you pray for them, how faithful you are in undergirding and supporting them, and how willing you are as a church to open this place and say, hey, come and continue to build the legacy for the kingdom of God that we've been building in. So church, I want to say thank you. I'm going to rattle off some things because I know some of you are like, I want more Bible. I want more. So here, I'm going to rattle these things off. I hope you would write these down. So I'll give you a second to get something out to write with. If you get your phones out, you can put them in your phone. If you have your phone and your friend doesn't, you can just text it to them. Get them this information. If I were to go further into this message today, I would talk about how do we actually know what's the actual evidence of salvation? You know, how do we know the one-fourth. And here are some things that are true for those of us who are identified as followers of Christ. And so you might even ask yourself, like, are these things true for me? Maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you've heard the good news, but you're saying, hey, am I in that one-fourth? And I would say to you, these are things that give evidence to that. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Matthew 7, don't turn there now, just write it down. Matthew 7, 16 says something like this. It says that those who identified as believers bear fruit. They bear fruit. Fruit is the evidence that you actually are practicing, living into what you've just heard. Holiness, found in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Holiness. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. Holiness, that really living in God leads to holiness. Christian character. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Write these down. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's Christian character. Are these things true for you? They're true for followers of Christ. Are they true for you? Look, the reality is this. As we're followers of Christ, we've been created to do good works, the good works that the Father has set up. Colossians 1:10. good works that the Father has set up. Here's a great one. The idea of seeds being scattered, that doesn't happen on its own. Evangelism has to happen. Romans 1:13, Paul says that he wished he could go there, that he could celebrate the harvest, that there could be a great movement of people coming to follow God. Is that true for you? Are you sharing the good news, and are people compelled to follow God as a result? Generosity. Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 28, talk about the generosity that comes from understanding your salvation in Christ. And last, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 talks about praising the Father. Church, we cannot be identified as followers of Christ if we are not in awe of the Father. We cannot be identified as new believers or as faithful believers if we are not living generously, living graciously, if we are not sharing the good news, if we're not putting our hands to work, if our character hasn't changed, and if we're not moving in the direction of holiness. Church, I am as screwed up as the next. I mess up more than you. Trust me, you don't want to know me that well. But here is the truth. I serve a God who has saved me. I serve a God who has changed me. And I serve a God who desires for me to continue to walk in his direction, that he might receive honor and glory. And as we do that, we grow with a deeper understanding to send anyone who might be willing. I don't care what color shirt they'll put on. Send anyone who might be willing to go out there and share the good news. Send anyone who might be willing to go out there and give demonstration to the reality that God loves us, and to be willing to stand next to someone in the love of Christ and share in needs, share in the greatest need, know the salvation that comes only through Jesus. Church, we're out of time this morning, but if we had more time, we would go even further. I hope you check out those verses today, and I hope you find as you read through those verses that God can continue to mature us as followers of Christ. I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to ask you to just sit. I'm going to take us back to that moment that Elder Dan took us to, where we had a moment of silence in the church. That does not happen often here, as Elder Dan has identified. And honestly, probably in most of our houses, it doesn't happen often either. But in this moment, what I want to ask you to do is two things. Number one, I want to ask you to find your voice saying to the Father, Lord, how can I be a part? How can I be a part of what you're doing in a greater way here? And as you find your voice asking that to the Father, I also want to give you space to say, Lord, in the stillness, there are some things I just need to lay before you. They may be wants, they may be needs, they may be sins, they may be things you need to confess. But I want to give you space to just do some work with God. Would you take a moment and do that now? Father, I love in Matthew 13 where it says that the numbers were so great that essentially there was no room for you on the shore, that you went out into the boat to preach. But you weren't moved by the numbers. And you weren't in awe of how many people came to hear. Oh, but God, you were committed to the faithful. Oh, God, you were committed to pour into, to invest in. You scattered seed everywhere, God, but you gave deeply to your disciples. That you walked with them, that you shared life with them, that you allowed them to see the most intimate times of your life, God. And Lord Jesus, what must it have been like to have been at that table that final night? To be welcome to have a meal and to have the rest of their days to reflect back on this one time where they sat at the king's table, knowing what you knew and they did not yet understand, much like today. God, what we know in part, but we don't yet know fully. God, we trust that you're going to do something great, and yet we have a hard time at times seeing and believing that. God, we trust that you're going to do something great in us, and yet we have a hard time seeing and believing that. God, we want nothing more than to just find ourselves lost and in awe of you, to be found by you, but to be lost in you. God, we desire that not just for us, but we desire that for our city. God, I'm praying for people who I don't know, some people who I will never meet, Lord God. God, I'm just praying that someone you might send would meet them. And I'm praying that when that person meets them, that they might have something to say to them, that they might have a word to give to them, that they might have an offer to make for them, Lord, that would change their life. God, I look around the room and I see folks who have been here faithfully for years and years and years. And Lord God, I am moved by the reality that you said something to them many years ago that they haven't given up on yet, that they continue to walk after you, that they continue to follow in your directions. And I see folks who are here early in their stages and their understanding of who you are, and Lord, you're saying something that's wooing them. They might not yet even have committed their life to you yet, Lord God, but you're saying something that's drawing them in. They're sitting in a room saying, I want to understand. And so, Lord God, I pray today. I pray that we would be a sending church, a church that would send people into the world to share the good news every opportunity we get. God, we are so proud of missionaries we send around the world. I pray that we will be equally as proud of those who we send in our backyard. I pray, Lord God, for folks who have come and have worked in our midst for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years. God, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would inspire life in them. I pray, God, that you would remind them of their worth that is found in you and their call that is given to them from you through this church to go into this neighborhood and to be beacons of light, to be great hope, to be communicators of the need and of the gospel that answers that need. Lord, we can't do that on our own. But as we meet you at this table, as we're reminded time and time again of all that you've done and you continue to do, we know that we can do that through you. And so, Lord God, I pray that that same experience that your disciples had with you at the table, I pray in a like manner, God, that we would have that experience here today. That we'd be reminded the body of Christ and the blood of Christ sacrificed and shed for us.